Yeah, Lord, that's our heart posture today. Is we didn't come here for a show. We didn't come here for just hearing a message. We came here because we wanted to worship you online, here in this room. Lord, we just say our heart is to see you, to know you, to pour our love out on you. Lord, today our desire is that we would fulfill the first and greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord our God. I pray that the songs that we've sang were pleasing to your ear. I pray that they would be filled with truth, that it comes from a place of knowing for us. Just before we open up the word together, we've just been sensing that the Lord has been really generous as we've been praying. Friends and staff, and we've just been seeing accelerated response when we pray. And so I just want to give us a moment as a church to join in with what God is doing, what we feel like God's doing. And so if you have a prayer, a desire in your heart that's been lingering, but you haven't been praying it for whatever reason, maybe you prayed it a long time ago, I think it's time maybe today to dust that off and to bring it before the Lord. And so I just want to give us this, some space for you just to pray. And I don't know why, but just I feel like the Lord is answering prayers quickly in this season. I don't know why, but we've been seeing it from one person to the next, family to family in our own church. So let's just take a moment and let's lift up a prayer of faith. Maybe it's some itty-bitty faith you bring. Maybe just uttering the words out loud is an act of faith. I just want to give you a space here in this room and online just to bring what we have before the Lord. What is our desire? What are you longing for? Lord, we thank you that we are a house of prayer, us corporately together, but individuals, that we now house you, Holy Spirit. We are now the temples of God, and we are now houses of prayer everywhere we go. Your presence is with us. Or you're inviting us into communion with you, not just in a moment of singing corporately, but everywhere we go, that you are with us, your rod and your staff that comfort us. You would never forsake us, that you will never leave us until you return, Jesus. You've given us your spirit. So Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to believe what we've sung, that you are good and that you never let us down. Lord, that is a declaration of faith. And although, man, we feel like there's failures, we feel like there's times where you have let us down, we are honest to say that, Lord, but the fact is that you have never failed on your promises. For every promise in the Lord is yes and amen. Your word does not return void, Lord. So, Lord, stir up our hearts, stir up our faith to believe again, to do the work of your followers, which is to believe. Today, Lord, we give you our prayer and we give you our trust as an act of faith. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us as we open up the word that you inspire, the one that you brought beautifully through many authors, yet one author. And would you transform us? Would you move our church body here locally in the Tri-Cities and around the country, those that are tuning in with us? Would you bring maturity to our body? Would you bring us into a better understanding of the promised land that we have in Christ? Lord, we honor you today. We bless you in your powerful name. All God's people said, amen. Can we get a little applause up in here for the Lord? Man, if you take a seat, it is good to be with you. And if you're online with us, man, we are so honored that you have decided to join us this morning. It is good to see some faces, haven't seen for a while. Man, so good. You know, I do think it's the Lord's grace upon my life. Don't judge me, but you know, my Buckeyes didn't end the year quite as well as I would have hoped, but y'all weren't here to give me a hard time. So grace upon grace, the Lord works in mysterious ways. He loves me a whole lot is all I know. Man, we have been in a series that's entitled The Jesus Lifestyle. The Jesus lifestyle. We've been looking at what were the rhythms that Jesus had in his life. Not just all the public aspect of Jesus' life, but what it is day-to-day look like when he wasn't doing the thing out here? What did it look like in here? Because if you and I are going to continue the ministry of Jesus, which is what we've been invited into, to not just live our life paycheck to paycheck and do the thing and then die. No, you and I have been raised to new life. Anybody believe that? And you've been raised in new life to walk in the newness of life, to walk in the way of Jesus and see the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Anybody want to see more of that in their life? That's the mandate that you and I have been given. And to do that, to do the things that Jesus did, I think we got to look at the things that Jesus did when nobody else was around. You see, we oftentimes want to tell the stories that Jesus had. We want to have the experiences that Jesus had, but many of us don't want to live the life that Jesus lived. And you know, we're called disciples for a reason. A disciple is not somebody who shows up to church. It's not somebody who sings along to the songs. A disciple is one who has given their life to a leader and endeavors to be like him in every way. That's what being a Christian is. It's us learning the way of Jesus, to see the things that Jesus sees, to have the perspective of God, and then to live that out here on the earth. And so we've been looking at some of the real practical things that Jesus did that connected him with the Father. And so we started out with fasting. Man, we are in the second week of the fast. Anybody excited for next week breaking the fast besides me? Oh my goodness, I am so ready. But Lord, don't let us waste this last week. And if you fell off the wagon, hey, it's all right. Jump back on. We got a week left. And if you haven't fasted with us at all, I would encourage you to go to withholdtobehold.com. And I would say just engage with us this last week. I believe the Lord will speak to you as we gather together in devotionals and prayer. And then as we celebrate, man, we're going to celebrate Sunday night. It's going to be incredible. I can't wait to get what I've been lacking. But we looked at the life of Jesus and how he fasted. And then last week, we had such an amazing time together. Five of my friends here at this church, they joined me, and each one gave a different aspect on prayer, which was so powerful. And if you missed last week, I would encourage you, go check it out. It was more like a workshop on prayer. But today, as Israel said, today I want to talk about rest. Everybody say rest. Rest, rest, rest. And my hope is that today we tackle this subject a little differently than the way that it's been preached oftentimes or the way that maybe we learned and grew up hearing it. Today, I want to teach you not only what rest is to God, but why we're called to rest. Now, when we think of rest, we obviously oftentimes think of the word Sabbath. Sabbath is the day that is set apart wholly unto the Lord. And we get that as followers of Jesus from the Bible. How many of you know it's good to get things from the Bible? All right. So if you're following along, that's my beautiful wife, who's also my bookmark from a Polaroid. If you have your Bible with you, go ahead and open up to Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to start out today where Moses receives the law from the Lord. The Ten Commandments, where he meets on a mountain, God speaks to him, God gives him the Ten Commandments, and I want to start here, and then I want to jump to Genesis chapter 2 in just a moment, and then we're going to end with Jesus. How many of you know it's a good thing to end with Jesus, right? So in Exodus chapter 20, God is meeting with Moses, and he goes through, and he says, don't have any other gods before me, have no idols. Don't take the name of the Lord, your God, in vain. And then we get to verse 8, the fourth command. And this is what he says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your sons or your daughters, your male servants or your female servants, or your livestock or your sojourners who are within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested. There's that word rested. He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The Lord rested on the seventh day and made it holy. Now, this is a command. This is one of the Ten Commandments, and it's beautiful, and it's needed, but I want you to know today that the Sabbath day of rest is more than a law to obey. I want you to hear this. It's much more than a law to obey. I don't know about you, but when I heard Sabbath messages growing up, it was all about what I wasn't doing and what I ought to do. Anybody else agree, right? You should be doing this. You're not doing this. And so there was usually some condemnation, call it maybe conviction if we make it a flowery. But it's usually dictating what we're supposed to do, but we never usually arrived at the why behind. What is the heart behind the law? And so what we see here is Exodus chapter 20, but God actually gives the Sabbath way before Exodus 20. That means that the Sabbath, the thought, the principle behind the day of rest was actually before the law. We see it in Exodus chapter 16 when God gives the manna. And it's from heaven. He says, on the sixth day, gather double so that you do not work on the seventh day. So he is doing this before the law was ever instituted. That means that the Sabbath, the principle around a day of rest, actually is not just in the law, but it's in God's heart. It actually comes before. And in this passage, it references creation. So if you're with me in Exodus, let's flip over to the left. Flip all the way to the beginning of your Bible to Genesis chapter 2. Now in Genesis chapter 2, we pick up in the creation story. God is created for 6 days. On the sixth day, he created mankind, and he looked at everything, and behold, he said, it's very, very good. It was evening, and it was morning. And then we're going to pick up in chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested. He rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from his work that he had done in all creation. God created everything, finished his work, and then he rested. Now, I want you to know God did not rest because he was out of breath. God did not rest from his work because he was tired, he was worn out. God rested because everything that he desired to accomplish in his creation was complete. It was finished. So he took a big look around humanity, the ocean, all the animals, all the birds, and he said, this is very good. And then he rested. Now, this first time we see this word rest in the scriptures is the word Shabbat. Everybody say Shabbat. Shabbat. It's almost like Shabbat bread, Shabbat, Shabbat, Shabbat. I don't know. I don't speak Hebrew, but it's Shabbat or Shabbat. And this word, it literally means to rest, but the nuance of this word in the original language means to cease, to stop. And so what we see in the scriptures is that God, he Shabbats. I don't know if you're allowed to do that, but this is kind of what he did. I'm going to make it a verb. He Shabbats. He ceases to do the work that he was doing, and he takes a break, and he steps away from it. God rested. Now, what's interesting, if we go just a little bit further in chapter 2, if we jump down to verse 15, the Lord, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. Now the second time that the scriptures use the word rest, here in chapter 2, verse 15, it's a different word. It's the word nuach. Everybody try that. Come on, it's fun, I swear. Come on, come on, come on. Somebody get a little German out or Hebrew, whatever you want to say. Nuach. Everybody say it, come on. Yeah, oh, yeah, that sounds like a big goober. Yeah, so this word is the word to place or to rest in, okay? And the word here, it means to cause to rest or to settle down, or how I really like it, it means to remain with. And the idea behind this word in chapter 2, 15, two words of rest in this first two chapters here, is really the idea of abiding, being with. And so we begin with a Shabbat. This is what we're called to do, a day of rest that's holy unto the Lord. God blessed it and made it holy. Shabbat, we're called to cease in order that we could then nuach, rest with or abide with God. And so I want you to see that God invites us to cease Shabbat in order that we can abide or nuach. Now this will blow your mind when you think about why would God give us the Sabbath when we just think of it, when we don't just think of it as a day where I'm not supposed to do anything. See, the whole heart of God is that we would take a day away from the things of this world, the work that we're called to do, in order that we could set our eyes back on him, that we could connect with him, that we could enjoy his presence, that we could dwell with, that we could abide with. This is why God gives us the day of rest. This is why God has instilled the Sabbath all the way back early on, and he shows us this. And what I love about God is God didn't need rest, but he modeled it for us. Don't you love that about God? Is that a God who never slumbers, he never tires, he never needs a Sunday nap, although I could use one once in a while after I preach my guts out. He doesn't need it, yet he models for us rest, and he shows us what it looks like to rest with him. And what I love about this moment where God chooses to rest on the seventh day is not just that he chooses to rest on the seventh day, but that he chooses to do it with humanity. Oh, isn't that beautiful? He ceases his work in order that he could dwell with humanity. See, he's modeling more than just don't work. He's modeling for us, hey, stop work so that you can remember that my desire above everything else is that you would have fellowship with me, that you would rest with me. And so the Sabbath day is really a day set aside to remember and enjoy God's faithfulness. At its heart, this is what it is. And as we look at the scriptures, as we start in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and as we get to Moses and Exodus, and then as we go on and venture toward, everything is building to Jesus. Everything that we see in the Old Testament is a shadow, is a glimpse into the future that Jesus would bring a reality to. And what I want you to see today, and if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. This is really basic for us, but I want to make sure we all understand that, is that Jesus, when he walked the earth, he completely fulfilled the law and revealed the heart of God behind each one. Don't you love that about Jesus? He didn't just fulfill the law to the letter of the law, but he also revealed the heart of God behind every law. And we're going to see this in Mark chapter 2, so I'll give you a second to flip over to Mark chapter 2 in the New Testament. We're going to land here today, and I'm going to spend some time unpacking why the Sabbath, why this idea of rest is so important to us still today, even though we're no longer under the law. Anybody glad, by the way, that we're not under the law? Anybody amen to that this morning? So grateful for the blood and the body of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, that he's fulfilled all that we couldn't fulfill so that we could step into his freedom. Oh. Anybody else free today? I don't know if you heard me. Anybody else free today? Man, it's so good to be free where I'm not trying to perform, not trying to earn God's favor. I've already been given. Anybody else got God's favor on today? Yes, come on, preach it. I'm going to preach it to myself, I guess, this morning. I'm going to get after it here. All right, Mark chapter 2, verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as him and the disciples made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. So taking a little snack. Before little Debbie, before Sunbelt, just walking through, grabbing a little grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Now remember what I just said, Jesus completed the law perfectly. And so they're trying to make a statement to say that he was doing something that was unlawful, but we know that's not correct. What Jesus was doing was actually well within the law. And so we gotta say, maybe we thought wrongly about the law. Maybe the Pharisees, although they were the most educated, the most well-versed in the Torah, maybe they had the understanding wrong. And so we go on, and Jesus begins to say this. He says, have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, and he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and he ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and he also gave those who were with him. And then he said to them, listen to this is where I want to go after today. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. That last line, if you have your Bible, I'd encourage you to underline that. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. What I want you to see is that Jesus, he kept the Sabbath command perfectly. We know that. He was without sin. He came to not abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And so he lived it out to the letter of the law. And so what he's doing in this moment, he's not actually doing what's unlawful. He's actually showing and revealing the heart of God. And in this, he gives us an incredible insight about Sabbath that maybe you've never heard before. The Sabbath, he said, was not man given to the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was given to man, for man. What I want you to see here is that the Sabbath was created for humanity's benefit. Think about that. That the Sabbath is a gift from God to you, to me, with the express purpose of drawing us to himself. I don't know how you grew up, but man, I never thought of the Sabbath as a gift to me. I always thought of something else I had to do, or man, I couldn't go outside and mow. Anybody raised in that kind of religious household? You can't go to the grocery store. Oh my goodness. Heaven forbid we pick a piece of grain. See, the Sabbath was actually intended for the benefit of humanity as a gift of God so that we could actually be drawn to his presence. And what we see in God's creation is that he created human beings. Therefore, he knows us better than any human being knows ourselves. He knows how he knit us together. He knew how he wired us physically and mentally, emotionally, relationally, spiritually. God knew it all. And in doing that, in creating us, he understands the divine rhythm that we have from heaven that he created us with. And part of that divine rhythm is that we would be a people of rest. And when we rest, I want you to know, we not only honor God, but I do want to make it clear and reiterate what the scripture says. When we choose to take a day and cease from our work, we honor the Lord. Oh my goodness. We honor him. That means that we trust him. But it's not only that we trust him. It's not only that we honor the Lord, but we actually position ourselves to receive from God when we take a Sabbath. How many of you besides me in this room, I'm going to raise my hand, want to receive from the Lord? Yeah, I think everybody. How about online? You guys get a little two hands, a little praise Jesus. Yeah. We want to receive from the Lord, but I want you to tell you today that one of the ways that he wants to give you things is that when we walk the way that he designed us, when we actually take a day or take a time period to rest, it's in that position that we actually receive God. Because when I take a Sabbath, what am I doing? I'm ceasing to do the things and I'm setting my eyes on God and I'm drawing to him. And let me tell you, to do that, I've got to believe a couple things about God. I got to first believe that he is a rewarder. How many of you know that God gives rewards? Hebrews chapter 11, he's a rewarder. You got to believe that if you're going to come close to him. We also believe that every good and perfect thing comes from above, from the Father of lights. And then we see Jesus, he comes on and he reveals the Father perfectly. And one of the things that he says about the Father, he says, listen, you guys are evil. And you give pretty good gifts to your kids. How much more will the Heavenly Father, who's perfect, give you gifts, give you more of the Holy Spirit for those that ask him? Man, God loves to give us things, but what I know about God is he will only give us things when we set our attention to him and we ask in order that we could receive. And so a Sabbath is God's mechanism for his people to teach us, come to me because I want to give you things. Come to me because I want to, at the very highest, I want to give you myself. This is what we see the Sabbath is and why he has given it to us. And the vision of our church, which I love, it's really simple. We believe that God's called our church to equip and empower individuals to be all that God designed them to be. Equip and empower individuals to be all that God designed them to be. We love that vision because we believe it's God's heart for you, our church, and our community. But I want to tell you that we cannot fulfill this vision. We cannot be all that God designed us to be unless we have proper rest. Unless we have rhythms in our life that align with how God created us, you and I, we're going to leave a lot on the table. What I told Kate driving the car a couple of days ago, and I believe this, that a people without rest will only repeat the past. I want you to think about that. A people without rest will only repeat the past. Do you know why that is? Because when we lack rest, when we lack rest physically, when we lack rest mentally, when we lack rest spiritually, we have no space for creativity, no space to dream, no space to think about what could be. And the only thing we can do is to go to the lowest form of our brain and think about what was, not what could be. And what I love about God is he's way ahead of science. Do you know that? I want to just make sure we understand that God is not opposed to science. He created it. Science is not the antithesis of God. It's actually an expression of God. It's us learning how God made things. And what I love about science more and more now is that it's actually pointing back to what God has said in his word all along. And one of the ways that we see science doing that right now is that it's pointing back to the value of rest. And you can find tons of studies out there, business journals, you can find medical journals that really point to the necessity of rest for our prospering, for our flourishing. And I just want to read one that I found today, or found for today. This is from Bridget Schult. She wrote a book called Overwhelmed, Work, Love, and Play When No One Has the Time. Sounds like a good title, doesn't it? This is what she says. Neuroscience is finding that when we are idle, in leisure, our brains are most active. The default mode network lights up, which, like airport hubs, connects parts of the brain that don't typically communicate. So a stray thought, a random memory, an image can combine in novel ways to produce novel ideas. See, what science has shown us is that when somebody is at rest, when I'm not always trying to perform, when I'm not trying to always engage my brain at all times, that in those moments, we're actually at our most creative place. But if we never rest, we'll never actually enter the creativity that God designed us with. See, Sabbath, I think, is a beautiful thing that gives us space to remember God's creative power and faithfulness while also dreaming of what God will do in the future. This totally changes how we approach Sabbath. It's not just, I gotta cease from doing work. I gotta stop doing the things that I'm called to do for my job, my occupation, whatever. It's not just that. We've made it that. That's religion. Religion stops right there. Religion stops at ceasing. But the point of ceasing was to bring us into abiding. In that abiding, in that resting, we remember the creativity of God that in 6 days he created with his mouth the world that we know. Oh. We remember that God is able to do far more than we could ever think or imagine. And as I reflect, as I rest, I also open my mind up, open my spirit up, open my inner man up to the fact that God has dreams and desires for the future. And I begin to think of what could be, not just was. How many of you know our country needs to think about what could be and not just was? How many of you know the church, capital C, needs to be thinking about what God could or want to do in the future and not just think about and wish we could go back to the past? See, this is what happens when we slip into a lack of rest. This is what happens when a people, a community, a family, an individual neglect rest in our life. We just wish things were like they used to be. There's no space to dream about what things could be. But it's not how God designed us. It's not how he created us to live and to thrive and to be. And what I love about Jesus, as he says this, he says, listen, the Sabbath is created for you. It's a gift. Here's the thing, you and I, we can reject that gift or we can receive that gift. We can say no or we can say yes. But then he says something else at the end of chapter 2, verse 28 in Mark. He says, so the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. Have you ever thought about what that means? You ever thought about what in the world is Jesus talking about when he says that he's the Lord over the Sabbath? In essence, what he's saying is that he is the God of rest. Just think about that. Doesn't that make you be like, oh yes, Jesus. He's the God of rest. And in this passage, Jesus has opened up an incredible truth that he is the one that is the fulfillment to what the original Sabbath, the seventh day that was kept to be holy and to be blessed. He is giving us some revelation here that he is the fulfillment to what the Jews and the Israelites had only a taste of way back when. He's saying, now I'm going to give you a taste of what God really created you to be, to have eternal rest that's not in a moment, that's not in a day, but it's a lifestyle and a lifetime of being at rest. It's way beyond a Sabbath day. It's way beyond a single day. It's actually a lifestyle that I'm inviting you into. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew 11. We know this well because it resonates with us. Because here's the thing. Most of us are not at rest. Most of us are tired. Most of us are anxious. Most of us have thoughts, lives that never slow down. And although we've been in a season where we are doing less things than ever before, right? We're going less places. Less vacations, no vacations. We're going out less, seeing people less. All of this physical rest, I think is actually challenged because there hasn't been a lot of mental rest, if we're honest. Our minds are going all over the place, nonstop, 24/7. We're feeding it news, and Facebook is trying to tell us things, and people are trying to tell us things, and people are giving opinions. And although we've had physical rest for this last year, our minds, I think, more than ever are stressed out and not at rest. And we wonder why people are doing what they're doing and saying what they're saying. Lord, we're a tired people. Can we just admit that? Our minds are tired. We're worn out. And here's the good news today. This is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and through 30. He says, come to me. Maybe just today, you need to hear that. Jesus is saying, come to me. It says, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There it is. Jesus says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Anybody think that sounds amazing right now? And what I see in Jesus is, if we go back to those original Hebrew words, the Shabbat and the Nuach, when we go back to this is what Jesus is offering in this invitation. He's offering this to you today, by the way. This is not just 2,000 years ago. It's for today. It's present. It's real today. He says, listen, come to me. Come to me. That's an act of faith, by the way. Come to me. I want to teach you to cease. I want you to teach you to cease striving for my love. Cease trying to show me all the things that you do or don't do in order to earn my love and affection. Cease, stop it, step away from that doing. Cease letting fear dictate your life. Cease letting guilt keep you in the dark. Cease giving power to shame to keep you in chains. Shabbat. Cease. Stop. And then he goes on, I believe. And he says, I want you to cease the lies of the world. The lies that you tell yourself. I want you to stop. This is what Jesus says, stop. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to be with me. Nuach, rest with me. Not based on how good you think you've done today, not based on how well you've checked your checklist off today, not based on anything other than I created you for my presence. Rest in it. Rest in it. And this is what the cross, this is what the resurrection, this is what his prayers for us is today that he says, come to me, I want to give you eternal rest where you can cease all the trying and you can just enjoy my presence. But I don't know about you, but man, the world, it seems like it is hell-bent on keeping us from rest. The corporate ladder, man, is not celebrating rest. Oh my goodness. Honestly, most churches, religious organizations, they don't value rest a lot. They'd actually try to get people to burn out for their vision. It's deadly. It's from, not from the Lord, by the way. I want you to know that taking a day of rest is a disruptive act of faith against the pressures and perspective of the world. And if you want to flourish in this life on this earth, if you want to enjoy the realities of heaven more and more on this earth, I'm telling you, we as a people need rest. Not because we have to, but because it's a gift and we want to receive all that God has for us. And so I want to encourage you this week to think about the scriptures that we've looked at, think about what I've shared, and what would it look like for you this week to say, I want to learn how to cease all the things that I do for a moment in order that I could abide and be with the Lord, to be in fellowship with him. Think about it this week, and what would it look like in your life? For me, in my life, this is what it typically looks like, and trust me, we're not perfectly living this out. There's so much grace, but what I try to do in my rhythms of my life, that I can be healthy, that I can be aware of the Lord, I can be reminded of his faithfulness and his creativity. Friday night at 6 p.m. starts usually what in my head, my Sabbath, at Friday at 6 p.m. And that Sabbath goes all the way to Saturday at 6 p.m. Because Saturday at 6 p.m., my wife and the kids will tell you, I shift over into preacher mode and I can't keep my mind apart from y'all and what the Lord is saying. And so I go downstairs after dinner and I just get before the Lord and I pray and I open the scripture, I read, I worship, I ask and I listen. And so, but from Friday 6 p.m. to Saturday 6 p.m., I try to take a time to really say, Lord, I'm ceasing from doing all the stuff. How many of you know sometimes this is the biggest challenge right now for us to Sabbath? Oh, social media on here, I can see everybody's, what they ate for dinner, like I really care. I can see pictures of your dog, the 30th this week, by the way. No, I'm just joking, we do the same thing. That's all good, social media is great. I'm not against social media. I'm not very good at it, but my wife's pretty good and she teaches me some things. But to step away from the news, step away from our phones, step away from emails, oh Lord, can you imagine? So practically, what's this look like? So I put together just a short list, if you want to take notes here, what it would look like to practically in your life to begin to adopt the rhythms that Jesus operated with. Here's a couple. Number one, it is a Sabbath requires preparation. Even in Exodus 16, you see that they were preparing for the Sabbath by gathering more on the sixth day so that they would have enough for the seventh day. I want you to know the Sabbath doesn't just happen. It doesn't just kind of fall out of the sky. We actually need to prepare and plan and be intentional. And then on the Sabbath, we really do need to take it seriously, to take away, step away and cease our work. And not just the work, but our minds that are engaged in our work. That's probably the hardest part for many of us. And what helps that is to be laser focused on the present. Who has God placed right in your midst? Your kids, your spouse, your friends, what God's given you to cease work. And then third is to connect with the Lord in prayer. Starting the fast oftentimes is a beginning of thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you that you're a creative God. I thank you that you have power and that today I'm remembering who you are. And that I don't have to fight for your attention. You've already given it to me. I don't have to try to earn your love. You've already poured it out on the cross and showed me once and for all that you love me. So even in that, I'm acknowledging, I'm declaring, I'm proclaiming the cross, like Jason said at the beginning, I'm proclaiming Jesus over me as I begin my time. And then here's the next thing, and this is what we miss out if we approach this as religion, is do something that you enjoy. Man, is it taking a hike? Is it taking a drive? Is it going and grabbing a cup of Is it coffee? Is it spending some time throwing a football with a child? Is it just sitting still and relaxing? I don't know what it is. God made every one of us different. But do something that you enjoy. That's a huge part of the Sabbath. And then finally, as you close your Sabbath, whatever it is, maybe it's just 4 hours in a day, you say, I'm going to start somewhere with the Lord. At the end of it, just take a moment and give thanks to the Lord. God, I appreciate who you are and what you've done. And I honor you. I honor you. I believe that one of the keys to having a thriving personal life, one of the keys to having a thriving family, I'll even take a stretch to say even one of the keys of being an incredible employee that's better than most, is having natural rhythms where we intentionally rest. Where God can meet us, where he can speak to us, where he can give us revelation. And so today, I've asked Ashton, it's so good to have you here today. Ashton plays at Celebration Church a bunch. And don't you love that the church is rising up, that we don't have to play games with this church and that church? Anybody else love that, what the Lord is doing? Man, so we celebrate what God's doing at Celebration Church. Great, incredible church. Oh, such a beautiful thing that we can have different people come and lead and not be offended or get scared. Isn't that good? But right now, I just want us to give you a gift like the Lord gave the gift of the Sabbath. I want to give us a gift, whether you're here in this room or online with us. We're going to just take a few minutes, and I want to give you a taste of what rest is like. Or you're not going to listen to me. You can just take a deep breath. It's so good. We oftentimes we don't really breathe. And to lead us into this, I want to read. I was downstairs in my basement last night, and on my basement I've got a bookshelf, and I was drawn to this book, prayer. One of my favorite books on prayer, Richard Foster, one of my favorite authors. And I was drawn to it for some reason. I didn't really remember a lot, but then I looked up, and there's actually a whole chapter called The Prayer of Rest. Don't you love that about the Lord, how he speaks and draws us? And he closes the chapter out with a prayer. And I just want to pray this over us. And then I just want you to do something that's a little awkward. I just want us to be. We usually don't have this kind of time. We're usually trying to get from one place to the next. What is the next thing I got to think about? But I just want us to be for a second. But I want to read this prayer of you. It's beautiful. He says this: Blessed Savior, I am not good at resting in the hollow of your hand. Nothing in my experience has taught me this resting. I've been taught how to take charge. I've been taught how to be in control, but how to rest? No, I have no models, no paradigm for resting. That is not exactly right. Jesus, when you walked among the Jerusalem crowds and in the Judean hills, you pioneered this way of living. You were always alert and alive. You lived utterly responsive to the will of the Father. Manifold demands were placed upon you, and still you worked in unhurried peace and power. Help me to walk in your steps. Teach me to see only what you see, to say only what you say, to do only what you do. Help me, Lord, to work resting and to pray resting. I ask this in your good and strong name. Amen. Let's take a few minutes and just take a deep breath. There's nothing expected of you. You can close your eyes if you want. You can keep them open, but Ashton's just going to play some beautiful music here, and we're just going to be, and we're going to taste and put into practice what we learned today just for a few minutes. just to take a deep breath. Even that is grace. Let's just end today by thanking the Lord that we don't have to strive, that we don't have to try to earn anything from Him, that He has already made it available. Just thank Him. Yeah, Lord, I thank You that You modeled, as You walk this earth, a life of being unhurried, life of getting a lot done, but yet being at rest and at peace in the midst of many obligations and many demands. So Lord, I just ask that as we, Your people, learn to walk in the ways of Jesus, that we would be a people that are at rest in Christ at all times. Lord, teach us the rhythms of life where we can be healthy and not just trying to get ahead. May we teach our children Your ways, and may they walk in it. Lord, I pray that as we cease, as we Shabbat, that we would learn to nuach, which is to abide with You, to dwell with You. Lord, give us creative new insights and ideas that will benefit our community. Lord, speak to us loudly as we set our gaze on You and behold You in rest. Lord, I pray that our families would flourish, that our children would know what it's like to be loved as the Father has loved us. That we would give time and attention, not just with words, but with our eyes and with our physical presence to those that are with us. Lord, thank You that the Sabbath is a gift from heaven for our good. Lord, undo the religion that we've tied into the Sabbath, and would You free us to receive from You and to enjoy Your presence. Lord, I bless this church and what You're doing. And we just say, Lord, continue to pour out Yourself. Pour Your love out. Pour Your hope out. Pour Your joy out. It's in Your powerful name we pray. Amen. 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 I would encourage you this week, man, think about what the Lord has said in the scriptures today, and what's it look like for you to be a person that adopts the rhythms of Jesus, the lifestyle of Jesus. And we love you guys. So grateful to be in this room with you or in your home. We're going to ask that each one of you wait until the ushers come alongside of you to release you row by row. And reminder, this week, Monday through Friday at 6:30 in this room, we've got worship and prayer going on during this fast. It's been the last week of that. So I would encourage you, come on out, worship, enjoy the presence of God. 6:30, everybody's welcome. No RSVP needed. And be at rest today, knowing that you're deeply loved. God bless you guys.